This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, folks. Welcome to 2024 on the Doggy Pod, the podcast that tells you all about your dogs.
tells you all about your dogs.
Well, you know, we have a lot of fun anyway, yeah. Stephen and I, and who knows, maybe someone out there is listening to
yes,
us.
Yes, well, we know they are. We appreciate it. Yes, thank you, Dr. Rob Zammit. My name's Stephen Peters. Dr. Rob Zammit's producer, and I try to make sense of... Really, Dr. Rob's one of the most well-known vets in the country. But geez, sometimes he can just babble on and
bang on about anything. Eh?
Yeah, that's so, it. So yeah, it's my job to try and make sense of it. But yeah, welcome back, everybody. We had a little break, although we didn't have that much of a break because we've finished shooting our movie that you may have regular listeners will have heard about that we're doing with Oggy. Dr. Rob's German Shepherd, beautiful German Shepherd. We've finished shooting. Oh, maybe we've got two more things to do, but we start editing that shortly, and that'll be out, you know, later in the years, and we'll certainly let everybody know.
Trust me, they are listening out there because I keep getting calls about it. And when's it coming out? And well, Oggy at the moment is learning to drive a car, so you'll be interested to see him driving a car.
Yes, he's doing burnouts in a car, amongst other things that Oggy does in this movie, which will be called, I think we can reveal what the title is. The title is Archie AI.
Now, for those doggy people that think AI stands for artificial insemination, you're wrong.
It does not.
It is actually Archie Artificial Intelligence.
Yeah, he's a spy dog. Anyway, we can't say too much.
No, don't give away the plot.
No, I certainly won't do that. Anyway, that's what we've been doing. But we're also, in this episode, we have to talk a little bit about something that probably not a lot of people know about Dr. Rob.
Oh, what's that?
And that is that he has done a bit of jail time.
Oh.
He has got priors, as we like to say in the business.
Is that right?
I think you can explain in a minute, but let's just say Dr. Rob has been behind bars more than once. But you can explain that, Rob, in a second, because we're going to talk about how dogs fit into that, of course. But we'll just touch on briefly at the beginning here about what you call service dogs.
Sure, yeah, because I've certainly been involved with a lot of service dogs. First started way back in the 70s and late 70s, early
80s. What's a service dog, though? What do you call a service dog?
I guess any dog that is servicing humans in a more formal way. Every dog services a human somewhere. That's their job. It's just to be with humans and to work with humans in some way. And I guess the most important job that all dogs do is to provide company for someone, to be with someone. And let's face it, there's a lot of lonely people out there. And I see than with their dog. So to me, that's a service dog. But I'm talking the more formal ones, like the police dogs, for example.
Right.
And I worked with the New South Wales Police back in the late 70s and through the 80s and into the 90s for a while. Then I've also done some work with some guide dogs, and we help the Guide Dog Association of Australia. We are on duty after hours for them to help them out. But I've also worked directly with some of the guide dogs that are working with their handlers out in society and help to retrain one as well.
Yeah, as in if they're having problems.
Medically, but one stage I did actually help one gentleman with retraining a dog, and I knew we had success when he rang me up and said, I was trying to get the dog to get on the train, and he wouldn't budge. He kept stopping me, and someone came up to me and said, oh, sir, you're trying to push in between the carriages. He would have fallen down and literally, it would have been a dangerous situation. And that's when I knew that, yep, we succeeded with that dog. And so, yeah, I've helped with retraining of dogs and enjoyed that very much because I've been involved in training of dogs since the late 60s with my first dog. And I enjoy the behavioural aspect of dogs and the behaviour and how they work with people. So as guide dogs, of course, they have to be a more dominant type of dog because they have to take the situation into their hands, not their handler's hands. You know, they have to tell the handler when to stop. They have to tell the handler when to walk around because there's a tree hanging down, tree branch hanging down, and you don't want to be walking the handler straight into that.
Or a big crack in the pavement.
In the pavement,
yeah, like
just they'll stop them and just let the handler feel their way around those sort of things. And yeah, they're a very different type of behaviour of training to anything else I've ever done. Very interesting, very, very interesting. And the work that the guide dogs do, of course, are fantastic. And then there's a lot of therapy dogs these days, a lot of different therapy dogs, again, because people have anxiety and issues in our society, and their dog keeps them calm and gets them through. Yeah, some people can't go to a shopping centre on their own without their dog there to support them. So service dogs, there's lots and lots of them. But the ones that we're going to get onto, the one hinting I was doing jail time, it was actually...
Well, you were doing jail time.
Well, I guess so. You were working with corrective services dogs. And in fact, there's three types of dogs working in jails.
And so you go into jail and help train dogs, is that right?
Or... Well, no. No. I do the a lot of the health work for the corrective services in New South Wales. Really good people right around New South Wales.
Well, what do you mean health work? What do you mean?
Well, we look after the health of those dogs. Plus, we recently actually gave some lectures on a course for new handlers.
So do those dogs live at the jail?
No, most of them don't. There are very good air-conditioned kennels at the jails, very well looked after at the jails, but a lot of them go home with their handlers and stay with their handlers. Most recently, the one that was just retired was a beautiful Kelpie called Skip, and he had done so much with his handler. This dog was really worked till, that's it. It was 10 years old, and that was enough for him, and they retired.
So what was he? He was a drug dog in the jail?
Yeah, he was a drug dog, but all the dogs, every single dog, because they form this relationship with their handlers, and they have to be a good working dog, good service dog, you have to have that good relationship with your handler, then those dogs will also, they will protect their handlers in a dangerous situation. They're not trained for that at all, not at all, but they will just come to the fore and do that for their handlers, should that be needed. But there's three types. There is the drug dogs and...
So what sort of who trains them to sniff out the drugs?
Oh, the handler itself. The handler forms the bond with the dog. They do some basic obedience things, and then they learn to sniff out the drugs. The way they do that, I mean, they have to have access to the various compounds that are required.
As in the drugs they're supposed to be sniffing out. Is that what you're trying to say, Rob?
Yeah, the drugs. And then they will train the dog on different scents, different drugs, and even explosives if they're required, because you don't want guns and things to get into jails.
So a dog can smell what regarding explosives?
Remember on the Doggy Pod, we've talked about the sense of smell, and we have like some 10,000 receptors for smell in our nasal area. These guys have 40 to 80,000 times. You know, right. So many more receptors, 40,000 to 80,000.
But what can they actually smell with regards anything to explosives?
Anything you want. Anything you want.
Oh, really?
Because you will train them to, I mean, you have to have that explosive that you're going to train them to.
Yeah,
And so you basically take them near that particular thing, they smell it, you make them sit and give them a reward. A lot of the drug dogs and bomb dogs, all their whole ration is given as reward for finding things. Their whole life is finding things. So these are dogs that are very food-driven. You know, they'll do anything for food, but also very wanting to please their handler as well. It works both ways. Mm. You know, they have to have that bond with the handler, and then they have to want to want food, and they'll take him up to something, make him sit, smell it, there's your food. Sit, smell it, sit, there's your food. Smell it, sit, there's your food. And that can happen, quite a few times. It's not just a half-hour session and go home. This happens off and on through the day until you can confidently let them into a room. They'll find where you've hidden that particular object.
Mm.
They'll go up to it, sit, and you just go up, give them the food,
So what's your involvement then?
I don't help with the training at all. Mm. My involvement is to keep these dogs healthy. You know, if there's ever any, and these dogs are looked after so well, Stephen. If the handler is worried, they'll come straight in and say, this is a problem with the dog. Plus, as I said, the other area of help that I do is these handlers have to know what's wrong with the dog and what's not wrong with the dog. You know, What do I do, especially if with the handlers are way out in the country? Not all the jails are around my hospital. So when there's something wrong with their dog, they've got to recognise it. So they've got to do a course and pass. You know, they've got exams to pass. They've got not just my part, as well as they've got a lot of other areas that they've got to pass. But in my part, they've got to know anatomy of the dog, for example. They've got to know what are the normal cardinal signs, the heart rate and pulse rate, and how do I find them?
So what breed of dog are we talking primarily for the drug dogs?
Oh, pretty much that's one of the areas that I've been trying to, hopefully we can pave the way a bit in the future. At the moment, we'll take just about any dog that's a good retrieving dog that is happy to work with food. So they'll get various crossbreds. They've had Kelpies, they've had Labradors, they've had all sorts of different dogs that we've picked up that are just looking for good homes. You know, a dog has to be young enough to be trained, social enough to be happy with everybody, and just wanting to please their handler. We've had a lot of crossbreds as much as we've had purebreds. So much with the other part, because there's, while we have the sniffer dogs, which will look for drugs and look for explosives or anything else, believe it or not, that you can even, they can be taught to pick up metal. They're going to be a better metal detector than a metal detector. So they're the sort of things they look at. But you've got the other side, that's the...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Drug dog, you also have the crowd control dog.
Now that sounds like the fun job for a dog.
Well, it's a very dominant dog because we can have issues in jails, and we do have issues in jails sometimes. And so the dogs can certainly look after their handler and also abate a crowd and get the crowd to settle down a bit because this dog is serious. Who wants to be first to take this dog on? Probably no one. We'll just calm the situation down very quickly.
So would they be German Shepherds?
A lot of German Shepherds have been used that way, yeah. Probably German Shepherds more than any other breed. You could use a Doberman, you could use a Rottweiler, but more German Shepherds that are used that way. And what I'd love to see for corrective services is for the government to come in and have the breeding program for both sniffer dogs and for crowd control dogs. That would be an ideal situation. So they're never looking around, almost going cap in hand sometimes to some of the other organisations to see if they've got any leftover dogs that might suit their needs. So rather than that, it would be good for the correctives to, and they've got a lovely area. It's out at Londonderry is where it's based.
Which is what, out on the outskirts of Sydney?
Correct.
It? Yeah.
And it's a nice area with nice kennels. If they could start a breeding, their own breeding program, that would be ideal and make them totally independent as far as trying to recruit dogs that will suit that need.
Do you ever hear about any of these dogs being attacked by prisoners?
Well, yes, it certainly does happen. It's one of the things that the... And the handlers get very worried because they love the dogs so much, you know.
Mm,
that,
mm.
You will happen in the more aggressive, you know, inmate, of course, could try and do that. By the same token, they think twice because they've got then two sets of worries. You've got the person, the handler of the dog, plus the dog itself will turn around and cause issues. So it doesn't happen that often that an inmate will try and attack a dog.
I wonder if they would get, it's interesting, I wonder if they'd get charged with canine assault. Because if they assaulted a guard, they would get extra time added to their prison sentence.
These dogs are, I think they actually virtually become equivalent to that.
They're registered officers of the Crown.
Exactly right.
Four-legged officers of the Crown. There's one other intriguing use of dogs, which I'm fascinated by, and that is dogs actually working with prisoners.
Correct.
Prisoners actually are learning how to train dogs. But now I'm assuming this is not, you know, murderers and rapists and serial killers and the like.
What is a jail for? It is also for rehabilitating people that have made mistakes.
Yeah.
And I guess it's different for you out there who have never made a mistake.
You're talking about me? Or
no, not you. Not you. Gosh, he's made some mistakes. And I have. I know I have. But for those people that made mistakes, of course, a lot of people say, oh, no, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And, a lot of people with low intelligence do use clichés. But we've all made mistakes. And from time to time, people have to be, I guess, rejigged and give them time to think. But the problem is, of course, you put them in a jail, it can make them worse, and the monotony of it can drive them mentally incapacitated or want vengeance for what they've been put through. It sounds crazy, but it's just life.
Mm-hmm.
So one program that has been successful all around the world, and certainly in Australia, has been giving the prisoners some dogs to train themselves. The dogs don't stay there with the prisoner all the time, of course. They come in and out and go to that particular prisoner for training. And it happened in the women's prison in Brisbane. I know that. It's happened in Cooma, in the prison there, where prisoners that want to, they volunteer for it, can enter a program where they're given the dog to train. And these dogs are trained to become good family dogs, not trained to be aggressive, not trained as drug dogs, not for anything else, but straight, happy, obedience dogs that can become good family dogs. And that's been a wonderful thing for both the dogs that are looking for homes, because it's a lot of the dogs that are basically unwanted dogs that may be put down otherwise, all of a sudden enter this program, and the prisoner enters the program, and these dogs have been brought round, socialised, trained, and given love by the prisoners as
prisoners
well.
Prisoners would be lining up to do this, wouldn't they? I would have thought.
I would have thought so. I don't know. If I was in jail, I think it's something.
Oh, yeah.
And I could get onto that program.
Oh, gee.
I think there's even a program on TV, something about parole dogs or something, or parole officers, I'm not sure. But the dogs really do relate to these people. And, yeah, let's face it, the prisoners are human beings that do need some care and someone loving them, and the dog does just that and brings them round to a different way of life, hopefully, later on as they leave the prison, the prisoners themselves. But some of these dogs have gone on to do wonderful things, I'll tell you, and great family dogs, but something else as well.
Now, there is one other area in the world of law and order where dogs are really useful, which I didn't really know about until you mentioned it the other day, Rob.
Yeah.
And that is, before people end up in court, before people end up in jail, they have to go to court.
Yep.
And believe it or not, there's dogs in courtrooms as well. Just tell me how that works. What's that about?
Well, can you think of a more anxious thing than having to go and give evidence about someone that's done something bad to you as a victim? You've already been harangued and harassed and brought down, and now you're anxious and worried and you have to go to court and face an attorney that's going to be hostile against you to try and defend his client, because everyone in an Australian courtroom has to have a defence lawyer. So it's a very nerve-wracking experience, and some people are already on the edge before all this occurs. One of the areas that dogs have been great in is just dogs in courts. And these are dogs that are well-trained and are very social dogs that will just sit with a person and the person will calm down. You may or not
sit with them next in the box.
They're allowed to. They start off in the back room with the person.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure the person relates to them and they relate to the person. But they're allowed to also go into the courtroom if the judge allows it. Most judges will, to help the person when they're giving evidence. Just have the dog there. You see, you may not realise but if you just pat a dog, it lowers your blood pressure straight away. Just patting a dog.
I think all doggy pod listeners know that.
They do know that. Well, it's the same. Do. These people, their blood pressure would be through the roof. You're better to give evidence. And I know I've given evidence on various things as a supposed expert witness. But, straight away you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be cross-examined on all this. Mm. And your blood pressure's up, I'm sure. Any normal person would have an increase in blood pressure. Well, the dog will straight away calm you down and lower your blood pressure. And that takes away some of the anxiety that you will have to go through. And some of these dogs are dogs that have been trained by prisoners.
So that's funny.
Yeah. Well, the prisoners know that these dogs will go into court. And isn't that good? You think, as a prisoner, I'm training a dog to help a victim because I've done something wrong. I've had a victim.
Yeah, it's all good karma, isn't it?
It is. It exactly right. It goes round, doesn't it? Mm. It makes the prisoners feel better about what they've done. They're like, not bitter about, I'm glad I did that crime, but it gives them some solace in, I did the wrong thing, but now I'm trying to give back. And I think that's important to, if you have no forgiveness for these people, I'm not sure what sort of human being you are.
Once again, with regards to the court dogs, is there a particular breed that works better than others?
No, not at all. Everything has been used, and big dogs and little dogs, depending, because some people are too scared of a big dog. But, there are breeds that do lend themselves to this sort of behaviour, of course, very, very well. I'm talking golden retrievers and Labradors as big dogs. Cavalier King Charles as small dogs, pugs, of course, pugs
everybody
are just the clowns.
Pug.
Oh, who doesn't? But there can be any breed of dog, as long as, Cock Spaniels, because those beautiful eyes, all those different breeds. Little Shih Tzus that, just friendly and love everybody and want to lick everybody. they'll get out there and do it as well. So, and that a little dog like a Shih Tzu is ideal because if people can actually sit the dog on their lap, you know, literally a lap dog that can go in with them and keep them calm. And the victim gets a lot of confidence in being able to talk with just having the dog there with them.
Alrighty, that just about wraps up this little welcome back episode starting 2024 type thing. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for listening over the break, because weirdly enough, we still managed to stay in the top 10 of podcasts in this space right through summer, and that's because people are going back and listening to didn't realise there was quite so many episodes. I think there's 170-plus episodes of the Doggy Pod.
Also for those people that have recommended to other doggy folks to listen in. I often hear that. Thank you very, very much. I hear people say, oh, I'm starting to listen to you and I just didn't know about it. So-and-so told me about it. So thank you for those recommending it. Thank you for those listening.
Yeah, and if you do like it, leave a review. That's really good for us. But anyway, yes, thanks for listening. We're just chuffed that you're there. But we will be back for another episode shortly. And we hope you all stay safe and out of jail.
And if you're thinking of doing a crime, just remember who's going to look after your dog when you're not there. So don't do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.